Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks postgame podcast. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boysen and Mario Tirabassi. The Hawks lose 2-0 to the Ottawa Senators up in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. And, yep, that was about it.
Yeah.
Good night.
See you
Saturday.
Pretty sucky night of hockey.
Yeah.
Maybe they're saving their excitement for when we get watched along Saturday.
Sure.
Because imagine if we had to watch...
The watch along for this game would have been real struggle. Yeah. It would have been a struggle.
There's so much good looking stuff going on that screen right now.
There really is a lot.
Yeah.
I love that Stephen Ogg guy.
The start to this game could not have been better for the Blackhawks for the first 9 seconds. And then the next 9 seconds.
We were all like, hey, yeah, this was exactly how we started against Calgary. Yeah. Look how well. Oh, crap.
Yep. The Hawks go on the.
And it was over.
They go on to power play 9 seconds into the game. 36 seconds into the game, they're down 1-0. 6:08 into the game, they're down 2-0. And that's the end of the game.
And then the Ottawa frickin' Senators parked the bus and just absolutely neutralized the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And, you know, to get shut out by Anton Forsberg, a guy with a, what was it, 885 save percentage this season. You only get 18 shots on goal. You know, you heard it in the broadcast from Derek King in the intermission. Again, this team does not know when the puck drops and how to be ready for it.
Well, and they were saying, too, during the game that Luke Richardson stopped the morning skate and was like, what is going on? What is going on? What are we doing here? You have a bag skate. Then you have a game you win. You play well in.
Play well.
Against Calgary.
You start on time and
then
play well and win.
Then you come to your next morning skate and you suck ass and the coach has to stop the practice. Look, and you, I don't want to steal your thought. It was your thought, but this is not on Richardson.
No, this
at
is
some
a,
point,
this is
Jesus.
A team that every time they win a game, they figure, hey, we got this figured out, and then they don't do the things that they did to win the game. Like, Luke Richardson didn't tell the Blackhawks to give up a shorthanded goal in the first minute of the game.
Right.
He didn't tell the forwards on that play to just cruise back into the zone and
Coasting.
Play no defense. Like, that was a pathetic effort.
He
That's
didn't tell
not
Connor Bedard
Richardson.
To throw a blind pass
yes,
off the board to nobody.
Yeah. And then Nikita Zaitsev to literally punch the puck into his own net. Like,
ooh.
Those are not on... those. That's execution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's execution.
It's mental. That's
this
mental.
This team, for whatever reason, be it inexperienced, be it veterans who may not give a shit anymore, they just, for whatever reason... once every three games, twice every five games, whatever it is, just say, we're going to mail it in tonight. Well, when you have a team that has bad roster, not a great talented, when you mail it in, you lose.
Mm-hmm.
When you're the Colorado Avalanche, you can mail it in for two periods and still win a game. Hell, we saw the Stanley Cup champion era Blackhawks do that all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just say, show up for the third period down 3-1 and say, all right, we're going to win this game. And then they win 5-3. Like, they had that invisible switch. This team is not good enough to give away periods. You give away one period, you lose.
Yep.
You thought that, like, after that Calgary game, they did everything right and you were like, all right, you're playing a team that you've had a lot of success against in the past. You're playing a team you've beaten once already this season. You're playing a team that played last night.
Yeah.
All those things.
Yeah.
And you would have thought this was the Blackhawks' fourth game in 4 days,
right?
The way they came out. It's just, are there things you can blame Luke Richardson for this season? Sure there are. But at some point, you have to lay the blame on this, on the players.
The players,
there's no
ready.
Execution.
They're professionals.
It's not Luke Richardson's job to tell these guys, hey guys, try hard.
Right.
That's not what a coach does at any sport except T-ball.
Right.
Like when you're at the professional level, the job of the coach is not to get guys to try hard. You're a freaking professional. That should be ingrained in you.
Yeah, effort should be assumed.
Your job is to make a game plan and tell the team, your team, the weaknesses of the other team and put your team in a position to succeed. That's the job.
Yeah.
If you can't get up to play in the National fucking Hockey League, go away and go play somewhere else. You don't deserve a spot. Plain and simple.
And it's, we've talked about this a lot this year. When they come off of wins, those seem to be the worst games they have. It's like, oh, well, we're fixed.
Yeah,
well, we're good now. Like,
we did it for three periods in a row. We're good. We can just go out there and throw our uniforms on the ice.
Weird. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just, this team cannot, they cannot get put their foot off the pedal for 5 minutes, let alone two periods, and expect to win many games.
I did suggest that after the shorty they gave up in the first minute, I suggested a bag skate right there. If Luke could have called timeout and said,
timeout.
Hey, just
get right
the
there.
Senators and out of the way here.
Give us a few minutes.
I know people are complaining in the chat about the line combinations, but, I mean, what combinations are there that are going to make it? You can have whatever combination you want, but if the guys don't give a shit, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, Nick Foligno is best on that Bedard line. And yes, I would like to have him just go there and stay there for a while.
Yeah.
I think he tries to do, you know, I'm going to try and give someone a boost by having him play on Bedard. Because if you can't play better playing on that line, then something's wrong.
Well, I think he's also trying to reward guys. Because before Donato got up with Bedard, he had been on fire playing his ass off, like being the best and most consistent Hawk night after night. So, okay. It's not like there's an obvious left wing up there for Bedard, and like the default has been Foligno, right? But give him a shot. Why not? It hasn't worked, of course, but I don't know. He broke up the lines pretty quickly in this one anyway. Like there were all kinds of combinations going on out there.
Yeah.
Well, and everyone was bad.
Yeah. And defensively, because Zaitsev was out in the second period, you were forced to throw different defensive pairings out there. But yeah, the forwards group got jumbled up too. I mean, when you have a team that comes out of the gate the way that they did, you have to figure out a way to get something going. And whether that's changing up matchups, changing up lineups, like you got to try that. I mean, he two games ago, he went to the I'm going to chew your faces off on the bench tactic and then came back from that game and said, like, that's not something that I want to, you know, play that card too often, because then it loses its effect. And that came after the bag skate. And then they came out and won the game against Calgary, a team that I would think we'd all consider better than Ottawa. And then you come out against Ottawa playing like this, like it's just bad. So the lineup combinations, I mean, you can always change your starting lineup immediately. And you know, trying to tinker with it, that's fine. Like we said in the pregame, like some groups of players are together, but most of it is still, you have the ability to jumble it up and just see what sticks. But
yeah.
It's just, yeah, when the effort and execution isn't there across the board, there's really nothing you can do. And as a coach, it's got to feel a little like you just throw your hands in the air and be like, these guys aren't just not going tonight and I can't do anything about it.
Right. It shouldn't, like your whole team shouldn't be, depending on who you put on Connor Bedard's left wing.
Right.
Like, that shouldn't be, like, but apparently
the top
is,
line left wing shouldn't make or break your entire team.
And I agree with a lot of people in the chat. I think Nick Foligno should be on that line and
he
stay there.
Yeah.
I don't have a
bunch.
But even if he's on that line, you got to have something from somewhere else. And Connor Bedard had his worst game as an NHL player tonight.
I would say so.
Kevin Korchinski had, he's had some bad games. Tonight might have been the worst of them all.
Yeah, and pretty I think bad. The 82 game it's, schedule
that's,
is
that's where I was
him.
Heading with that. Yeah. You're starting to see guys, teenagers, who've never played a season this long. It's starting to really.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, and Bedard hasn't played in all 71 games or whatever it is, 73 games. He missed some time, but still, just the mental grind of an NHL season, doing it for the first time, has to take its toll. I think you're starting to see for some of that. But yeah, when your best player has his worst game, it's not going to be good for you. You need someone else to step up, and nobody else.
By the way, yeah, you're right. And credit to Jacques Martin, by the way, because he had the Hawks scouted perfectly. Mm-hmm. From the second that power play began, he knew pressure the point, you're going to force a turnover. Sure enough, it happened. The Hawks had very little space. And if you go back and think about the games they've had recently where they've had wins, they've been doing well from the point. A lot of it has been get in the zone, drop it back, move it back and forth. Power play, even strength, they've been having success with that. And Jacques Martin, who's 175 years old and has been in the league for 150 of those, has seen some shit. Mm-hmm. And knew, watched that tape on the Hawks and said, okay, here's how I'm going to eliminate the dangerous players on the Hawks. On a power play, I'm going to pressure Seth Jones at the blue line. I'm going to take away time and space for Bedard, make somebody else beat me. Boom. And, you know, part of that talent, when games go that way, it can make the effort look worse. But this game was undeniably, guys were not engaged. They just weren't. Like, Kevin Korchinski, I walked by Matthew Joseph easily. I'm like, dude, Kevin, your asset right is skating. You can't get blown by somebody.
And he had the thing that was frustrating about that is there was a guy covering the middle, the slot there, and he decided to try and go inside.
It was a 1-on-2.
Yeah, like just take. Yeah, it was a bad play, and you know we're seeing Korchinski struggle, and like I don't think it's a like I haven't lost faith that this kid's going to be a really good hockey player. No, it is a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah, he's going to be growing.
Who's
pains.
Played. This is the most hockey he's ever played in one season. He's doing it against grown ass men. He's taken his fair share of beatings this year. You're going to start seeing some mental breakdowns, and that's what we're seeing. It's expected. Maybe you know, but unfortunately, you know, this is when you see maybe next game. You know, Korchinski gets that recharge. Go watch from the press box, but you can't because Nikita Zaitsev left and didn't come back.
Yeah.
So guess what, everybody?
Jared
Tenorti is going to be back against the Flyers on Saturday. Yeah. Can't wait.
At least he's going to put an effort out. I know Jared Tenorti is going to try. That's one thing I can count on him for.
True.
Yeah, I mean, having been taken out of the lineup, you can kind of see some of the things he's talked about. In the media since that time frame.
Yeah, Charlie wrote about it. Greek brother.
Talking about, like, you know, just the disappointment he's had with himself and his game this year. Like, he's going to be chomping at the bit to get back in the lineup, make an impact. I wouldn't be surprised. And honestly, maybe this, it's a Neanderthal thought, but maybe this team needs somebody like Tenorti to come into a game and try and put hands on somebody early to be like, hey, guys, wake the F up, please. Like, I'm doing what I can. Do what you can.
I think they should just put him at the end of the bench and then just have him stare down the bench the entire game.
That would get me
just
motivated.
Just staring at his teammates.
He is a scary dude.
He is terrifying.
He is a very terrifying,
he is a scary individual.
He's
just
one of
just whittling a piece of wood.
like shiving the end of his stick.
Just have him sit at the end of the bench cleaning a gun.
Just polishing it over and over again. Yeah, there you go.
He's a terrifying human being.
I mean, play him 3 or 4 minutes.
Play, yeah. He'll have to go
Tenorti
take a shift.
Tenorti is a super nice guy.
Yes.
But once you start talking to him, he's always, his locker room stall is the first one when you walk in at the Fifth Third Arena.
It's right at the corner.
So you walk in and you see him, and he just always looks like he's in a bad mood.
I always want to go the long way. Like, I'm just going to walk around.
Like, go around.
Maybe he listened to last night's post-game show. I should stay within arm's distance from him.
Yeah.
All right, we've got some stuff to do here. We've got to get to our four-star nominees. We got some super chats. We're going to do that real quick. Let's do the four stars first. Your three stars, Jake Sanderson, I almost said Jeff.
Scott
Parker
Sanderson.
Kelly is your number two star, and Anton Forsberg, Blackhawks legend. as your number one star. So here are your four-star nominees.
Number one
star. Lucas Reichel had one shot, 13:45 of ice time, but was certainly engaged in this game, trying to make things happen, trying to generate some offense. So
it's very noticeable.
Only for you.
Almost had a really nice, like, burst of speed through the neutral zone into a almost breakaway. Just couldn't get enough separation, but it's a play you like to see and that we haven't seen a lot from him this year.
By the way, that was sprung by Alex Vlasic, who's also a candidate for four-star. One shot, three shot attempts, 20:30 of ice time and four block shots. And I think we could probably call it right now. The next nominee, Peter Mrazek, who stopped 32 of 34 Ottawa shots and gave the Hawks at least a chance to attempt to get back in the game.
Well, just because you said that, I'm voting for somebody else.
Fair enough. That's fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a game from Mrazek like he played tonight, and if you'd come into this game and said, you know, Mrazek's going to stop 32 of 34, you would take that on pretty much every night. Now, on the other side, you're only going to get 18 shots. That's not the the kind of support that he deserves.
You're facing a guy with a worse save percentage than Arvid Soderblom.
Which I didn't think was possible.
And you get 18 shots on goal. It's not good enough. It's just not good enough.
And a lot of them were not high danger.
No.
Like, just...
No.
Just this is a game that you just... brutal game.
Ball this one up and throw it away. It was just...
With 40 others.
It just sucked.
Same exact game.
Yeah, that pile of balled up games is getting pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty tall.
That's a lot of balls over there.
Yeah, a lot of balls.
All right, we'll get to your super chats here in a second. I want to remind everybody, if you haven't yet, please smash that like button for us. And if you're not somehow already subscribed to our YouTube page, please do that.
Do it.
Right now, we'll do a like spike a little later in the show. It's a little too early. But, boy, as soon as that final horn sounded, I filled up my Coors Light because we needed it. And I don't think we're quite chill yet. We might need a little bit more. We can check on that in a little bit. But that's what we go to when we need to chill. It is Coors Light. It is perfect cold refreshment to chill you out, especially during or after a game. When those mountains turn blue, you know it's as cold as the Rockies. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. When it's time to chill, open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer we reach for here at CHGO Blackhawks. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGOHockey. That's CoorsLight.com/CHGOHockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Golden.
Golden. You know what else is golden?
What else?
Buying a car.
Golden Richards.
From our pal Ray.
Ooh, could be a golden car.
It could be. If you're in the mood, you can get a gold-colored car from our partner, Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram
in Fox Lake. And they're celebrating Jeep celebration events. Their Jeep, see, that's not written right. All month long. And you know what that means? You're going to be able to rave about their savings on a wide selection of inventory. For limited time, you can lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo Altitude for just $439 a month for 39 months. That's not a lot of months. And if that Grand Cherokee just isn't big enough for you, you could check out the third row and lease a new Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L for $479 a month for 39 months. That's a W, not an L right there. At Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram.
You'll always be able to shop on Chicagoland's largest inventories, better late than never, and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect thanks to Ray's price promise.
Ram.
Don't miss out. Shot crepe deals all month long and save big because Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram
makes buying a new vehicle more affordable than ever. But that's not all. Just for listening, that's you out there in podcast land, you beautiful people, you can get a free oil change when you mention CHGO at the service center or mention CHGO when you book online at RayCDJR/service. But you have to schedule for April 1st. That's only a few days away. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, you have to check out the team at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram
because they're the only team we recommend. Visit them on Route 12 in Fox Lake or RayCDJR.com, serving the community since 1963/Ram.
Some updates here from Luke Richardson via Ben Pope. Richardson describes Zaitsev's departure after the first period as a combination of an illness and a nagging upper body injury.
The poops.
Not good enough to compete in the NHL tonight.
Nice.
Interesting.
So gave it a go and then couldn't go any further.
Yeah.
Plus upper body injury.
I need to kind of hear that quote.
Yeah.
Because I wonder if he's like, oh, well, we just took him out of the game. I don't know.
Yeah, it might. Maybe it's a. I have no idea.
I don't want to speculate.
If it's connected
it's
to the hand.
It's an interesting quote.
Trying to block the shot, but maybe it's like, ow, my hand hurts, and also I'm sick.
I got the
pee. Can I please stop playing hockey?
Also, this sucks.
Who knows?
Here's another quote just generally about the effort. Richardson says, quote, probably the complete opposite of our first period against Calgary. Credit to Ottawa. They outskated us and outworked us. They were the team that played and traveled last night, and we just didn't match that. We started to play a little bit in the second and third periods, but we had a hard time getting on the inside. Yep. And look, like
sure
that,
did.
Seriously, Ottawa did play very well in this one, and they knew exactly what they had to do to stop the Hawks. And that's what we need to see now from the team's going to be reliant on Bedard's offense for a long time. So as he gets older and he gets more experience, he's going to have to learn how to adapt to how teams are defending him and not get frustrated and not become invisible. Because early in his career, Patrick Kane was pretty easy to defend. What Patrick Kane had that Connor Bedard does not is help.
Yes.
So Bedard is going to have to find a way to make a difference even when the offensive opportunities aren't coming for him. And I will say, they made a couple nice plays, like shots that were intended to be deflected that almost worked. A couple good, like, no-look behind-the-back passes. Like, those things were there. They didn't result in passes in any points, obviously. But those little moments are there. He's got to find a way every game, every night, every period to make a difference. And he will. But
yeah,
it's one of the adjustments that a player that's 18 in his first NHL season is making.
I'd like to think that a lot of, well, not a lot, but there would be a sizable difference in his game when teams can't get away with being like, okay, four players converge on Bedard and shut him down and dare Ryan Donato to beat us. Like you said, like when there's more help, and he's not the only option out there offensively, I'd like to think that the game would open up for him and for everyone else around the team. Like you were talking about earlier about how the Senators were defending the Blackhawks on the power play. They were just kind of like packing things in at the blue line. And, you know, we were talking during the game. I was just like, who besides Bedard do they really have to respect on the power play? You know, like we like Kurashev and Jones and Foligno and all those guys. But as far as like true power play threats, true scoring threats, you know, it's Bedard. It's Bedard and maybe Jones, you know, a half a tick for Jones as well. But it's too easy to defend the team from being that challenging offensively whenever Bedard's on the ice, put two guys on him and not have it be a detriment. So I think that'll change as his career moves on, as the team roster changes, as we see, you know, some of this talent that's coming up with these younger guys gets here. I think those opportunities will open up for him. But until then, in these final nine games, it would be nice if there'd be, you know, one other guy that would jump up and have a really engaged final stretch of the season to be one of those guys that's like, hey, you gotta can't forget about me too, you know, Ryan Donato or Tyler Johnson or Taylor Radish, like
yeah, anybody,
one of these guys, be able to try and be that, at least try.
Yeah, the last time these two teams met at the United Center about 6 weeks ago, Connor Bedard was the driving force. He had a goal, he had an assist, he had five shots on goal. Blackhawks won 3-2. He was the difference maker.
Yep.
Well, a guy like Jacques Martin, the interim head coach of the Ottawa Senators, is not going to allow that to happen twice in the same season. This is a guy that has been coaching in the NHL since 1986 as either a head coach or an assistant. Mm-hmm. The dude has been through it all. He is not going to let Connor Bedard beat you when he knows nobody else can.
Right.
He made that mistake once. Mm-hmm. So he put that fourth line out there against the Bedard line most of the night, and that line was just owning them. Physical. Big. They couldn't get the puck out of the zone, and when they would get the puck out of the zone, it'd be one and done. A lot of missed shots. A lot of missed nets tonight.
Yeah.
Bedard was getting frustrated. He made that awful turnover on the second goal. So, you know, these are the types of things, too, that, like, as Luke Richardson gets more experience behind the bench. You got to remember, this is only his second year as an NHL coach. He's got to then go, okay, what can I do? How can I be kind of sneaky? If he's going to shut down Bedard, how do I adjust to that? Mm-hmm. But you just don't have the talent on the roster to do that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate to feel like this team is looking for the exit door on the season. I don't think a lot of them are, but I mean, had they not made the comeback that they did against the Sharks, had the game they did against Calgary, I don't know. I'd be a little bit more feeling like, all right, I think with this continued effort at this point in the season, I don't think it'd be too far-fetched to say, like, some of these guys are probably, like, thinking, like, I can't wait. Like, we were saying, I can't wait for the offseason. I think some of these guys might be feeling that. And the fact that, you know, yet again, it was a bad start. It was not being able to,
yeah,
you know, get out of first gear in this game. We've said before, had to address it in the morning skate, and it carried over again to the game. I don't know. I would really, really, really hate to think that there'd be that early checkout from the guys on this team. I would hate if that's the case.
It's just, we're just so closely removed from the Calgary game where they came out and it balled out for game. The 60 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's like. What is it here? You know? We got to get to these super chats. I'm sorry I've been negligent in that. Edward first with a 10. What did we determine it's called?
Reals.
Reals.
Reals, right.
10 more. 10
reals. 10 reals says, nothing American annoys dollars. Me more about this Blackhawks squad than the inability to do a power play zone entry. It's like they're shorthanded instead of on a power play.
Yeah. It's been a problem.
Yes.
Teams that
been a problem for years.
When teams that stack up the blue line, they got no answer for that. They don't want to flip it in and go fight for a puck. They'd rather try and skate through four guys, and then, you know, that's
and
when you
everyone stands still. Yep. And I just,
well, I get that's your system, but like, here's what you say: hey, guys, if we try that, and you notice there's four Ottawa Senators standing on the blue line,
chip it.
Try something else.
Yeah.
Try something else. If they're not going to take what they give you, that is such a common sports phrase. Like, take what the other team gives you. Don't force it.
If you got eight guys, if you're carrying the puck and you have eight guys standing as a wall in front of you, like, read the play.
Yes.
And say, like, hey, I got some speed going here. If I try and go through eight pairs of legs and arms and sticks, I don't think I'm going to come out the other side with the puck. The odds are not in my favor.
Probably.
But if I chip it up and over them, and use that speed to try and go through them, or give the other five guys or four guys on my team the opportunity to try and chip and chase in, I would think that the percentage odds of you trying to get that puck back are higher. Maybe it's not great, but it's got to be at least higher.
If you line up as a quarterback and you see eight or nine men in the box and you've got a run play called, you're going to audible out of the run play.
Right.
If you're an NBA player and the defense is sagged all the way in towards the net, you're going to take that three. Adjust to what you're seeing. Yeah. And that was our knock on, like, Korchinski and just a slingshot in general early in the year was, we run a slingshot power play. We will do the slingshot power play regardless of the context of the moment.
Yeah.
And yes, those things will develop as a team develops and as these guys get more experience, but y'all have been playing hockey for a long time. I know not in the NHL.
Some of them.
Take what they give you is not a new NHL concept.
Still the same game. No. It's just played at a much better rate. Yeah, it's an inability to read the play, like you said. Like, hey, we're told this is how we're going to enter the zone tonight, so this is what we're going to do. Got to stick to the plan,
right,
and not take what's given to you. Sometimes, You know, like you with football, hey, if it's only a 3-yard pass dump off, you take it. You take those 7 yards and live the fight another day.
You had 3 yards of play. You never had to punt.
This is true.
Yeah. $34 from Larson Ryan.
Oh, wow.
Says, pray for my man, Peter. Nothing's wrong with him. He just plays for Chicago. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mrazek was awesome today.
Really good. Season he has been having, it is, it's really impressive when you adjust it to the team he's playing behind. And he's been healthy all year. They said it on the broadcast. This is the most games he's played basically since he got into the league back, you know, like almost 10 years ago with Detroit. Yeah. And he is playing at a above league average level with this kind of team in front of him, with, you know, with goal support being the worst or close to the worst in the league for him and Soderblom this year. So, I mean, it really feels like I know Bedard is like been their best player, but they wouldn't even be close to being as competitive as they have this year. And that's not a lot, but they wouldn't be even close without the way Mrazek has played.
Yeah, Bedard's been their best player. Mrazek's been their most valuable.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. And, you know, Toronto's got to be sitting there going, maybe we should have hung on to that guy.
They must really love Fraser Minton.
I mean, my goodness, that was a... You got to remember, the Blackhawks were given a first-round pick to take Peter Mrazek away from a team that has been dying for goaltending. I know he wasn't great up there and the health issues, but that's going to be a comically bad team. Peter Mrazek's got a save percentage over 900 on this team behind this defense. Mm-hmm. That's really impressive, and it's been a great season for him. And, hey, that's why he got a 2-year contract extension, as he is the bridge to Comezzo.
That's right. By the way, Mario, you mentioned how often the Hawks missed their shots. They have 11 missed shots. Ottawa had 12. Seems but for like context.
Seems like a lot more.
Strength, the Hawks only had 43 combined shot attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So 11 of those 43 completely missed the net. Ottawa, who missed 12 shots, had 63 shot attempts.
That makes a difference.
High danger chances, 7-6 in favor of Ottawa. Scoring chances, 26-12 in favor of Ottawa. Yep. So I don't recall six high danger chances for the Hawks, but
I don't.
There were a few scrums in front.
Couple close, you know, plays around the net, but yeah, nothing that was like, oh, here's a 2-on-1. And how many times, at least 3 this in tonight's game, where it was like, open chance, on net, no, hits the glass, hits the boards, like from within 15 feet of the net, and they're missing high or wide or high and wide, like, man, that is one of the most that's one of the most frustrating things watching these guys as professionals when they're so close to the net and they just completely whiff it. Like, I could do that.
Well, there's always that moment, like, whenever what appears to be a good scoring chance in a hockey game happens, there's like a hush on the crowd all the time, and you hear that whenever it's the Hawks, you hear a hush and you hear as the puck hits the backboards. You know, it's like, God, come on.
There was one, Tyler Johnson had one that had to be 4 feet away.
Yeah.
And just bang, hits behind the net. And it's like,
missed by 20 feet.
It's so frustrating. Yeah. But that's the season.
It's not great. Are we in the break zone again? I believe we are.
We can be in the break zone anytime
we want. We can go to the break zone anytime we want.
It's our show, damn it.
Highway to the break zone.
And, you know, when you go to the break zone, sometimes it can get a little messy. And when you want to clean it up, you want to go to CD1 Price Cleaners. CD1 Price, they have the lowest prices around. Customers can save over 30% on their dry cleaning bills by switching to CD1 Price Cleaners. Other cleaners charge a different price for every garment type, and sometimes they have upcharges, and you may end up paying different prices each time you visit. But at CD1 Price Cleaners, they charge just one low price for any garment, including sports jerseys, the same low price. CD1 Price Cleaners has your order ready the same or next day, very quick. Other cleaners can sometimes take up to 2 to 4 days to have your garments clean, and that's just too darn long. CD1 Price Cleaners will send you a text message when your order is ready as well to remind you, hey, come pick up your stuff. We don't want to have it here any longer than we need to. And they have a variety of services, including dry cleaning. They'll wash and fold your laundry. The folding part is the hook there. They'll clean blankets and comforters. They do tailoring and alterations, leather cleaning, area rug cleaning. They're more than just dry cleaning. They got so many things that they can do. So what you want to do is go to chgo.cd1.com. That link is in the description below. So once you're there, you can pick from a variety of in-store coupon options or online pickup and delivery coupon options as well. Again, that's chgo.cd1.com.
All right.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Who's next?
I think it's you. I think it's you.
Oh man.
I think it's Jay.
I love Jay. I love bacon.
Jay. I was doing Salernos.
No, oh, I'm God. Doing Salernos. You're talking about bacon.
Again?
You were proudly before the show saying I'll do Charlie.
I wasn't talking about the read.
I know. But you still got to do the read.
You did say that.
All right, fine. I'll do the Charlie read. Is he even here? Doesn't he have to be here to get a read?
No, nah, he's in the chat.
What? He better be. Charlie, prove you're here or I'm not doing it.
We talk about
bacon or it didn't happen. Again.
Whatever. I'll do it because I guess he paid. Whatever. Well, our buddy and your buddy and the biggest celebrity at CHGO, he was one of the... Yeah.
There he is. He's there right there.
All right.
He's doing dishes. He just got soapy water all over his laptop.
Take your dishes to CD1 Price Cleaners and just have him wash them. They can do it too. Just have him throw it in the...
Dry cleaner
Throw it in
dishes.
The washing machine. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Charlie, for being there. We appreciate you. He is based out of Woodridge and makes craft bacon and bacon jams in over 35 different flavors. They're naturally cured... preservative-free products, and there aren't any ingredients that Charlie can't pronounce. Because why would he put junk in your bacon? All it needs is bacon.
You put junk in the trunk.
And delicious. Yeah, and the
bacon
helps you do
bacon
that.
And it'll get there.
Here's the great thing, too, because you might say, how much bacon should I order? As much as you want.
All of
because it is vacuum sealed.
It
freezes up perfectly. It lasts in the package up to 60 days in the fridge, and a week after, if the seal is broken, 9 months in the freezer, longer than that, but he has to be, you know, cautious.
9 months.
Bacon jam lasts about 90 days in the fridge and up to a year in the freezer. But if you're keeping bacon in the freezer that long, you're doing it wrong. The bacon jam is great on literally everything. Scrambled eggs, crackers, burgers, grilled cheese, charcuterie boards, cinnamon rolls, pizza, Charlie's favorite, the spoon. I like to put it on a baked potato. Ooh. Really worked out beautifully. But the other day, I was grilling burgers for the first time this spring.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, bacon jam. So right before you go put the cheese on, you just get a little spoon, put the bacon jam, then the cheese on top of the bacon jam.
There you go.
It was perfect. I didn't tell my daughter.
In the patties.
Well, see, you're better than me.
I was just going to say.
Juicy Lucy's.
Yes. I just had frozen patties that I found from last summer, and I'm like, I better finish these off.
Put two together.
Did those last a year in the freezer?
Apparently. Yeah, I'm fine.
Good.
Yeah, they were fine. So check them out. Some of your bacon flavors, maple pepper, chorizo, French toast, honey chipotle, Cajun, jardinera, raspberry chipotle, and the Maui Wowie. Bacon jam flavors, original bourbon, mango. Habanero and cherry jalapeno.
Sign me up for
and starting now, you can save 10% on your order at charliethebaconguy.com. When you use the code CHGO at checkout, you can pick it up, which is the most efficient way, or he can deliver it to you, meet you halfway, or even ship it. He makes the bacon so you can bring it home. Again, charliethebaconguy.com, Instagram at charliethebaconguy, Twitter at CZTheBaconGuy, email charliethebaconguy@gmail.com. Get yourself some lovely, lovely bacon.
Yes.
And our buddy Young Dangle God is here and says, you're looking for somebody who can finish. I know someone who might be available this summer. Thank you very much. He chips in his dollar for mentioning indirectly Patrick Kane.
Alluding to.
Just above that, our guy Lebowski 5, I'm wearing my big Lebowski shoes tonight,
nice.
Says Ottawa Senators is the most boring-ass team in the NHL. Mm. I disagree because the Nashville Predators and Minnesota Wild still exist.
Nashville's on quite the exciting heater.
Yeah, but they've been a very boring-ass team
They'll still be...
I don't think the Senators... They were boring tonight because the Blackhawks were the other team on the ice, but they've got some talent there. You know, Tim Stützle is an exciting player.
He's a good guy.
Brady
good player.
Kachuk, not, I wouldn't call him flashy or exciting, but he's fun to watch because he will beat the living crap out of you.
Also a good player.
And score goals. Yeah. You've got Jake Sanderson, who is a really good young defenseman, can really skate. And how about Claude Effing Giroux?
Yeah.
Ageless wonder, man.
20th goal of the
season
tonight.
Such a good player.
He's got 20 goals and 40 assists at age 36. Could you imagine? I know he wanted to play in Ottawa because he's from the area. Could you imagine Claude Giroux on Connor Bedard's left wing all season this year?
That'd be fun.
That'd be really – that would have been really good.
Is he – he's not a free agent this summer, is he?
No, he's got one more year.
Next year?
Yeah.
Next
he
summer?
Signed a 3-year deal. A lot of people gave the Senators crap for that, but that's worked out tremendously for him. He
probably thought that they had more competitive hockey.
A lot of people did. Last year, they were that team. They were that sexy pick. Them and the Buffalo Sabres were that sexy pick to get into the playoffs.
And the beer wore off.
And then, Ottawa forgot to get a goalie. And,
oops.
You know, that.
Hey, Anton Forsberg.
How dare you disrespect Anton Forsberg?
He just shut out the Hawks.
Just ask the Detroit Red Wings, who forgot to get a goalie this year, too, how that's working out for them.
They got their dicks kicked in today.
Because I'm free.
It's too bad.
Free fall.
So,
Patrick Kane's going to play as many playoff games this year as he did last year.
Zero. He played playoff games last year.
He did.
He played the Rangers
last year. As the Blackhawks did last year.
He's going to play as many as the Blackhawks are this year. Ottawa, tonight's game was boring, but I wouldn't call them a boring team. I wouldn't call them an exciting team, but I wouldn't call them boring.
Tonight's game
They're not the New York Islanders. That's a boring-ass team.
Tonight's game was strategically boring by the Senators because... they got out to the very early 2-0 lead, and I would assume they picked up on what the Blackhawks were bringing to the table tonight, and they said, hey, we're all tired. We played last night, and we played really well. We're up 2-0. Let's just make sure we don't lose this one, and we can get away with it. And I think that that's what they did. They pressured. Look, what did they finish the first period with? 17 shots on goal, and then they finished the game with 34.
Yeah.
Like they took their foot off the gas and got 16-11-7.
They decided to let's just fall back and play defense. Mm-hmm. These guys aren't going to score on us.
Yeah.
So it worked.
By the way, your Blackhawks, who were chasing a 2-0 deficit, had a combined 11 shots on goal in the last 40 minutes of the show of the game.
Cool. So,
it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good enough.
Yeah. When you can't solve a Ottawa Senators team that's playing defensively, Not trying to attack. Like, when you can't do that, like, it's rough. But, granted, this is still this Blackhawks team, which we've seen them play 72 games this year before this one, where shouldn't be that surprised that they weren't able to figure it out tonight.
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Red Wings lost 4-0 tonight to...
4-0? I thought it was 4-1.
Nope. According to this, it says 0.
4-0.
As a Hurricanes playoff team.
Yikes.
So they're 2 points behind the Capitals.
Capitals.
And the Islanders are 2 points behind the Red Wings.
Capitals won tonight, lost tonight.
Yeah, so still 2 points there. Man, if the Islanders or the Devils could just get on a five-game winning streak here, that playoff spot is theirs.
Yeah,
nobody
think?
Wants that last playoff spot.
Well,
in the
Washington's playing well. You got to give them that, but I just don't know how long they can sustain that.
Yeah, I don't know. And listen, if they get to the playoffs... There's some cheering going on. That distracted me. Maybe the Cubs just took the lead. I don't know.
Is the TV got volume on?
No, that came from outside. Anyway.
Oh, weird.
I totally forgot what it was. Oh, yeah. If the Capitals get to the playoffs, and if I had a Jack Adams vote, it would be to Spencer Carberry. To get either him or... They got to give John Tortorella a lot of credit for getting the Flyers to the playoffs. That was a team that is pretty much was like, hey, we're rebuilding. We picked 7th overall, and we're going to trade away all these players for nothing so we can get the number one pick. And oops, we made the playoffs. That should be their logo.
Whoopsie.
That should be PHLY's new t-shirt. Whoops, we made the playoffs.
Uh-oh. Unfortunately, we have made the playoffs.
Change of plans. Buy your postseason tickets now.
Yeah, exactly.
Turn in your pre-made Macklin Celebrini Flyers jersey for a pair of tickets to our playoff opener.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so if the Capitals get in, Spencer Carberry as a first-year head coach.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of credit. I kind of have a feeling I know where it's going to go. I can't think of his name right now. That's how good he's been. But whoever took over for Edmonton is probably going to get a lot of
Knobloch.
Knobloch. Yeah, Chuck Knobloch.
Can't throw to first, but he sure as hell can coach.
He's going to get a lot of credit for that, even though, yeah, there probably was a little bit to that. But, you know, getting Connor McDavid healthy
that
had a lot more to do with that than the coaching
or just
change.
Having Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Having him turn it on. Yeah,
it's it'll be interesting to see who gets coach of the year.
Yeah.
That would be
the Capitals, like, statistically.
Rick Tocchet's probably going to get a lot of love for that.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, and that's another team that was like, maybe they'll be a bubble team. And, like, nope, they're doing very well. Yeah, Capitals, like statistically, like, they don't do anything well.
No, but they
yet
win.
They're still finding ways to win.
Dylan Strome,
baby. It's amazing.
Yes,
Dylan Strome's having a great year.
Well,
great year.
He's a good player.
He is.
He's a good player.
Like, he always has been.
I just think that, like, the expectations.
When you put him with a coach that doesn't hate him, all of a sudden he can play hockey. It's amazing.
Well, and you know, I think a lot of times, too, like, guys get drafted as high as he did. And it's like, well, why is he not great? Why is he not an elite player? Dylan Strome's going to play good hockey for a long time. Mm-hmm. He might play for 3, 4, 5, 6 different teams throughout his career, but teams are going to know, hey, this is a second-tier guy that can play first-line center in a pinch, is an ideal second-line center, and you put talent in him, and he's going to produce goals and assists.
Yeah.
There's a ton of value in that.
Yeah. I mean, the only time he was never, like, the only time he wasn't a decent to good NHL player was when he was with the Arizona Coyotes organization. That's where he was drafted.
Right.
He was very good in Erie, playing with some very good players on his OHL team, namely Connor McDavid. And then when he got to Chicago, he got an opportunity to play with Alex DeBrincat and Patrick Kane. That went well.
Pass to your left, pass to your right, get an assist.
Yeah, not bad. And then when he goes to Washington, he's paired up immediately with Alex Ovechkin. That's gone well, too.
Pass to your left, get a goal.
Yeah, and, like, you know, some people want to rag on Zach Hyman for the fact that, you know, he's played most of his NHL career with either Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner or Connor McDavid. But, like, there is something to be said to being able to play with those kinds of players because not everyone can do it. You know, Zach Cassian played a lot with Connor McDavid and didn't do what Zach Hyman has been able to do.
Right.
So it's not the easiest thing to be able to play with those kinds of players because you have to see the game and be able to find ways to complement their game because they're going to be the driver and you're going to be the passenger. But if you drag them down, it's not going to work. You have to keep up with them. And Strome's a guy that with those elite level players, you can keep up with them.
And he has adorable dogs.
Yes, very cute dogs.
Love those dogs.
We are once again in the break zone. We're going to do that. And we come back. We're going to hear from Luke Richardson.
Ooh.
They sent the audio. We've got it. So very interested to hear.
Video and audio.
Last half of water bottle.
You said audio, but there's video as well.
I'm just saying, I'm still a radio. My brain is still radio. It's going to take a few years to deprogram 23 years of radio production. Yeah.
Well, hey.
Well, I know it's not me this time. I already did Charlie aggressively.
It's my turn.
But tenderly.
The Blackhawks. The Blackhawks could not get their elusive 3-game win streak tonight. They couldn't get fat and happy off of their goals and victories. But we got fat and happy off some delicious Salerno's pizza. Just some of the best pizza in all of Chicago. So March Madness is upon us. Watch the big dance live at Salerno's on tap, located at 1201 West Grand Avenue in Chicago, or call them for carryout and delivery. When you do, mention CHGO and you're going to get half off the price of your pizza. Their number is 312-666-3444, or you can go to salernospizza.com. And I do want to clarify, half off your price of any pizza. So if you have three pizzas in your order, half price off of three pizzas. If you have one, half price off of one. You get how that works.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
10 pizzas for the price of five.
Look at that. Yeah. So we took advantage of that tonight. Delicious Salerno's Pizza. Head to salernospizza.com or call them. Again, 312-666-3444 for more information and to place your order today.
Yeah. And this has been a really big week for CHGO as far as the community building that we're trying to do here. And we had our takeover on Tuesday night. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Got to meet a lot of our regulars in the chat, hang out, watch the game together. Everybody saw me on the Jumbotron in person. Both of our baseball teams were out and about today for opening day doing live remote shows. Yeah. The Cubs guys are still at the Country Club Bar. They're going to be going. Their post-game show will be live as soon as that game is over.
Hopefully soon.
And it looks like they just took the lead.
Cubs took the lead, 3-2.
Cubbies. There's another big event coming. Bears, you may have heard of them. Bears. They're big around here. We're having a two-night draft party Thursday, April 25th, Friday, April 26th, including on Friday night, we're going to have a special appearance by Bears legend Gary Fenson.
Oh, how about that?
And our friends at Collector's Cave are going to be offering tickets for autographed pictures and jerseys. We're giving out merch and diehard memberships, but you don't have to wait to get your diehard membership at the draft party. Get it now, because you know why? First things first, you're going to save 20% off on tickets to that NFL draft party at Joe's Bar. I know last year the draft party was in the front portion of the bar. This year we're in the back in the
more
big
space
room. It's going to be
all these
awesome.
People.
So when you become a diehard, you get a free shirt or hat of your choice, or you get, what, $35 off a hoodie if you'd rather have a hoodie?
Half off a hoodie.
That pizza hoodie?
You get 20% off.
Half off your pizza.
All merch hoodie. Going forward. You get access to all of our great exclusive written content that goes behind the paywall. As far as the Hawks goes, that's Jay's weekly Blackhawks beat article and our weekly rebuild report that Mario and I put out to keep you up to date on all things prospects. You could read the latest one that came out today. So you also get access to the members-only Discord channel, which is a lot of fun. A lot of you guys are active in there all the time. So become a diehard. Go ahead to allchgo.com. Click on the diehard link. Get your membership. Help support us. And get all the great perks. And hopefully we'll see you at Joe's on Wheat Street here in about a month when the Bears maybe take a quarterback with the first pick.
Should be a lot of fun.
I hear there's a guy with a pink phone that's pretty good.
Is there a breaking episode tonight because Cale Williams put out a video?
There is not.
There's no emergency pod?
No, emergency pod.
They're going to talk about it for 7 hours tomorrow.
The more I see from him, the more I like him.
I'm starting to really like that kid. Yep. He's got some swagger and some attitude. He's got a chip on his shoulder and ready to prove people wrong and do it in a Bears uniform. I'm
he's
okay with that.
He's got a pink phone. He can't play quarterback because I'm scared.
Kyle Brandt was good on that on Good Morning Football this morning. He lit into those people.
Is that the guy that wears our CSU stuff every once in a while? I like him.
Kyle's a good man.
Angry runs.
Good taste. All right, let's go to...
Bet you he got his 20% off because he's a diehard.
Hell yeah, he did. not live to Ottawa, but out to Ottawa. Here is Luke Richardson postgame courtesy of the Chicago Blackhawks. And we think...
Probably the complete opposite of our first period against Calgary. Credit to Ottawa. They outskated us and outworked us. And they were the team that played and traveled last night, and we just didn't match that. And I think we started to play a little bit in the second period and the third period, but we had a hard time getting on the inside. So I just thought they had a little more determination than we did tonight.
What did you see in that second goal? Was it kind of chaotic?
Yeah, you know what? It was kind of typical of the first period. I thought, we just didn't match their intensity. I think they were a step ahead of us everywhere. And, unfortunately, we paid the price. Peter kept us in and gave us a chance to get back in the game. But where our power play has been very good for us lately, tonight it was a little sloppy, just like the rest of our game. So obviously giving one up and then not creating anything more than a secondary chance on two power plays is not good enough. Our penalty kill was probably our best part of our game, and as well as Peter. But we gotta make sure we're ready to play. And you know, it's happened, you know, again. And you know, I thought we played well over the last 10 games, but there's too many games that we're not ready to start the game. You know what? He wasn't feeling great before the game, and I think it just escalated a little bit. And you know, he just wasn't feeling good enough to play. So we ended up going with five the rest of the night, and we'll hopefully get an update, and hopefully he's feeling better soon.
Is this an illness or an injury?
Yeah, he wasn't feeling great before, and I think he has been battling in the last little bit with an upper body injury. So I think the combination of the two, it just not good enough to compete in the NHL tonight.
Seems like you kind of switched up the forward lines.
Yeah,
as well.
Halfway through, I thought just trying to get a spark, and you know, we've seen. I thought Johnson's lines was our best line starting in the second period, and so we kept them together. But you know, trying double A with Kurashev and Reichel, we've done it in the past, and Reichel showed some bursts, and so did double A. In the third period, and then just getting Connor with guys that are playing well with the puck, you know. But I thought overall our game was just too slow tonight.
Did you try to do more maybe double chase?
Yeah, we could, but we really didn't have the puck a lot this game. Unfortunately, we did turn the puck over in the neutral zone, and Ottawa's good at that. You know, guys like Giroux and them have great sticks, and if you're sloppy, then they're going to turn that puck. And they played fast, so anytime they got it, we were chasing them. So I thought we had a couple sustained ozone times, and it was getting pucks behind them and moving our feet, but we didn't do it often enough.
It could be a long year for an 18-year-old in the NHL. Is Connor doing physically and mentally right now?
I think good. I think, you know, he's always working on his game and stuff. I think he gets frustrated when he doesn't have results, and he's not used to that. And so sometimes we got to dial him back a little bit, and I think the veteran guys do a really good job as well. We count on them, but they've been through it. And you know what? We just try and give him a good game plan to get over it and get into the next game.
There's Luke Richardson after the game, clarifying kind of the Zaitsev thing. It did sound like he tried to give it a go and just couldn't. Wasn't. Was just not feeling up to it. Yeah. So, hey, props for him to him for trying.
Yeah, and maybe it doesn't mean that he's out the next game. Who knows?
Right. Yeah, we'll see. Something to keep an eye on. All right, let's go to the fourth star of the game as chosen by you.
I bet 10 reals chat. That Tenorti's in the lineup.
Oh, well,
and there is your winner.
I don't know how much that is, though.
Peter Mrazek. Closer than we thought.
56%.
Yeah, I mean, still a nice win, but closer than we thought. He stopped 32 of 34 Ottawa shots on goal. The other candidates were Reichel and Vlasic, and I think that was the order of finish, correct? Was it Mrazek, Reichel, Vlasic?
Correct.
All right. Yeah. And speaking of order of finish, Greg is prepping his helmet.
Oh, yeah. That's two in a row, I believe.
Mm. That's true.
Two in a row.
Think you can get it to three in a row?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Blackhawks can't.
Has any of us won three in a row for Who's Your Hawk?
Oh,
I think I had a three in a row streak.
Probably you're winning, but the magic number stays the same.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, we're winning, you know, 45 to 20.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
You can't really catch us at this point.
Yeah.
Fairness.
Yes, the NWO is still ahead.
For life.
Yeah. But, hey, I took Nick Foligno. He had the best blue line somehow. I'll take it.
Those hits.
You know who had the best blue line in the game? Jacob Megna.
Yeah. For the Hawks.
Like, for the Hawks. Yeah.
For the Hawks.
There's several dozen Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
I think I saw Alexander Daigh. Radek Bonk was in there.
Troy Murray had Luke Richardson. Yeah.
Somehow Nick Foligno, rookie, is on there. And then you get to Jacob Megna.
Nick Foligno, parentheses 09.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. It's like a WWE 2K game where it's just different era of people.
Ron Tugnutt.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, nice.
Hey,
all right. Wow. You win. That ends it.
That's a good one.
And speaking of ending it, let's go to Connor's Corner before we wrap the show up.
Speaking of Tugnutt.
He's 18. Minus two shots on goal.
Going on the ice tonight.
And five shot attempts for Connor. Looking around his room for anything new.
He's got to go to CD1.
The laundry pile's back.
What is he watching this time? It looks like he's watching racing.
He's watching us.
He's watching us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Look at that.
I'm sure that's not true.
Yeah.
Dino Nuggies.
The laundry pile's back.
The laundry's back.
He's got to do his laundry. Yeah, he's watching us.
The Jack in the box is still there.
Yeah, I don't know. I missed the start of this, so I gotta come up with new things, I guess. Us.
Yeah. Connor's, as we said earlier.
Rough night.
Probably his worst game in the league. So far, so you hope the young man If there's one person that's going, the first person is going to admit Connor Bedard played like crap tonight, it's Connor Bedard.
I would think so, yes.
And he's not going to settle for that. So, you know, Jay, you're going to have first pick again.
I'll take Connor Bedard.
Flyers. don't prep Galaxy brain this.
I'm not. Graphic now.
I'm more sure of it now than ever that he's going
to
have a good game.
We'll get to watch that game with everybody. We're doing a watch along on Saturday night.
Are we doing a pregame too?
Hold on. We're doing a watch along?
Yes. Saturday night's a watch along.
On Saturday. Yeah, we did it last time that way. We did the pregame.
Did we only do like 10 minutes?
Right
in
the We did the first 10 minutes.
I believe
before.
The game was like a 6:15 puck drop or something like that.
It's
so
usually
we just
seven,
went
like seven, out, 7 after the hour.
Yeah, I think so. We didn't necessarily.
So why
do
don't
it
we start?
We did,
at six.
We did a 10-minute lead in to puck drop.
If we start, lit the lamp.
And then we did the game.
If we do a 6 o'clock start, that gives us enough time for Hoosier Hawk, the Lions, light the lamp, and then puck drop.
Yeah.
They usually start around 6:07, 6:09.
If it's a 6 p.m.
Maybe
start
someone's
time?
Maybe they're retiring.
I don't think they
Keith
are.
Primo's jersey and
6:07. The 07:35 is the start time in hockey. Yeah. So if it's a 7:30 game, it's 7:35. That's the puck drop.
So weird. 6 o'clock, we'll be on the air, and we're going to stay on the air for the whole game. We'll watch along with you. We're going to maybe try and think of some fun games to play along.
See how much Salerno's you can eat?
Yeah, well, that's
sure.
I won tonight.
Half off your pizzas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that should be fun. Maybe we'll talk to Bill and Charlie over there.
Yeah, see what they're doing.
PHLY.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'm going to assume they might be at the game, or at least
Charlie might be at
the
game.
But maybe Bill can join us for the intermission, one of the intermissions.
Sure. Yeah. And with that,
talk about the exciting matchup. Oh, we got to hear what's the stat one. The Hawks haven't won in Philly
won
in the
regular season,
season
game
since
in
like
Philly since
1974.
Yeah.
Well, they also had
didn't
beaten Ottawa like 700 straight.
I thought they snapped that though.
Did they?
I thought they did.
Did they win there last year? Right, maybe. I don't remember.
To the internet. I thought they snapped that.
Let's see. Philly versus Chicago. The Hawks beat them 4-1 on January 19th, 2023.
All right. So never mind.
At Philly?
Chicago at Philly.
There
yes, because
yes.
The other time they played them was Taves's last game at right. home, and they lost that
awesome
game.
Goals from Taves, Tyler Johnson, Philip Kurashev, and Reese Johnson.
Nice. Wow. The Johnsons.
Big game.
All the Johnsons. Wow.
A Johnson-filled game. All right. Thanks, everybody, for being with us.
Philly
do us
Johnsons.
A favor. We are not at 100 likes yet.
Double Johnsons.
Get us over that 100-like hump, please. Smash that like button. And we want to thank Law for running the show today. He also did Bulls pregame.
No, just Bulls just a standard Bulls
show. Oh, the Bulls show.
Yeah.
Got it.
It was Mark Kay's last night.
Well,
very upset
about
that.
More went out.
Yeah.
Salute to Mark Kay. Good guy.
Lives in the future.
Good dude. Enjoy that Australian licorice.
Yeah, Australian licorice.
See, that's why I bought the Australian licorice tonight to honor Mark Kay.
No doubt.
His last game, and because I'm fat and I like it.
Well, that too. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you Saturday. 6 o'clock for the brief pregame and the watch along. We'll be here the whole game.
We'll show
it's gonna
up
be a lot
time.
Of fun.
Hopefully, the team does.
Yes, exactly. We'll talk to you then on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. We all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.